Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borak Thung, Earthlings, and galactic greetings from San Diego Comic-Con. I am your host, Molchar, and I've stood right here in the 2000 AD booth. You may be able to hear the sounds of gunfire in the background. That's the demo for Rogue Trooper Redux playing in the background. Loads of Earthlings have been coming along and trying out the demo for the game, which, as you may well have seen, announced last week, is going to be out on October the 17th on consoles and PC and Nintendo Switch. Though I'm not a gamer, so I don't know really what that means. We've had a fantastic week here, spreading the word of Thrill Power in California. And on Thursday, we had a very enjoyable panel with a very appreciative audience. Our guests were Mark Stern, who's the executive producer on the TV show, Judge Dredd Mega City 1, who you will have heard on a previous episode. Also, the mighty Dave Gibbons. Bobby McGill from our games division, who talked a little bit about the licenses that are being negotiated and indeed signed for 2000 AD games. And new art droid, Emily Ziner, who now lives local and has got her first cover coming up in the future. So sit back, relax, and I'll see you on the other side. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Or shall I say, Borak Thung, welcome to the 2000 AD Thrill Fest. You are few in number, but high in quality, I can see. We've got about 50 minutes of thrill-powered conversation with our guests, and I'd like you to give a round of applause to each one as I introduce them. Dave Gibbons. Executive producer on the Mega City 1 TV show, Mark Stern. From our Rebellion Games marketing team, we have Bobby McGill. And last but not least, we have new artist, Emily Ziner. I got that right, didn't I?
Yes.
Ziner, yes. Excellent. Good. I practiced the whole time. So, how many of you have been to the 2000 AD panel before? A few of you. Okay, cool. So, we at San Diego, we do like to try and, you know, keep things varied. And at a couple of points over the course of this this panel, we're going to have some competitions. So I'm going to be looking for volunteers. If I see anybody who is very pointedly not volunteering, I'll just pick you. All right? Watch out for those, and we'll be giving away prizes, but you have to come down to the booth to collect them, because last year I got into trouble for giving away graphic novels without clearing them. Anyway, let's move on. So, first off, we're going to talk about games, video games. You'd all like to see more 2008 video games, wouldn't you? You don't sound very enthusiastic, if I'm perfectly honest with you. You would all like to see more 2000 AD video games, wouldn't you?
Yes!
There we go. Well, I asked Bobby to come along as a virgin 2000 AD panel guest to talk a little bit about the video game side of things. So I don't know if you saw the announcement earlier this year?
Yep.
Where, because Rebellion's slate of games development is full for the next 5 years at least, Rebellion have decided to license out characters for games development in the future. So, Bobby, can you give us an update as to where we are in this process? Because it's been a few months now.
Yes, it has. So, in the last few months, we've had literally hundreds of people get in contact with pitches, ideas, things like that, and I guess we've been positively overwhelmed is probably the right term for it. So we've had a lot of people getting in touch, and it's not just for video games. This is also for things like card games, board games, mobile games. You name it, we've had an idea for it at the moment. So yeah, we're absolutely delighted and very, very excited by the ideas that we've had in so far.
Can you give us a hint as to the kind of things that people can expect in the future?
Not especially right now. We can't publicly talk about any of the actual things that are going on, but what we can say is that I can confirm that we have signed a number of deals on 2000 AD games. Obviously, we can't talk about them publicly at the moment, unfortunately, but I'm sure you'll be seeing.
What use are you? I invite you on a panel, you can't announce anything.
I know, I'm like, oh, okay, actually, I can't tell you anything.
That's really mean of me. I knew he was going to say that.
It's all right. You get me out of the way first. And then we can get into the more in the exciting stuff.
I can't say anything either.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'm happy to say anything. I've got loads to say.
This is why I don't tell you anything. You might give it away. But yes, so these deals, what we can say is they cover a wide spectrum. So we've not just signed video game deals. You may see things such as PC games, console games, Android games, iOS games, board games, card games, as you've said. So, you know, we can't confirm anything, but these are the things you may be seeing over the next, who knows. I like to keep it vague.
I could probably answer that question better than him, and I know nothing about any of it.
Good, good. But what we can confirm also is that we've been in talks with both big studios and small studios, so it's not just one kind of thing that we're looking for. Obviously, as always, we can't confirm who these people are, but it's nice that it's been a lovely mix of big studios and small studio stuff.
So, okay, well, in terms of what people want to see, hands up if you'd like a Dread game. Slaying game? Rogue Trooper? I've already got one of those. That was a trick question. We'll talk about that in a minute.
October 17th.
Yes.
Tell me. October 17th, is that a hard fact?
Yeah, it's literally just been announced.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, we can reveal something, although I'm slightly late.
Hard fact on the 2080 Phil Fest.
Yeah.
October the 17th for the Rogue Trooper Redux. Has anyone been down to the booth and played it? What? Come on! You know where we are, booth 2806. You can actually play the new Rogue Trooper Redux game. A lot of support there for particularly a Dread game.
Yes.
I assume that most of the interest has been in Dread games?
You would be wrong.
Shocked. I knew nothing about this.
Yeah,
What's going on?
It's definitely one of those things when we opened it up, you know, it was kind of like, okay, it's going to be Dread, maybe some other things. But actually, it's been a really nice mix. You know, actually, only about 30% of all of it was Dread. And it's been a really nice eclectic mix of, 2000 AD characters, things like ABC Warriors, Slain, Strontium Dog, to things like Halo Jones, things like that. So it's been a very nice mix of ideas. So, you know, it's not just going to be Dread stuff you see. It will be other stuff as well.
We've reached the limit of even the vaguest of details that you can give now, haven't we?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think Bobby actually deserves a little round of applause for...
For saying nothing.
It was either going to be you or Sinan who did this, and I could see the tension as you both kind of went, oh, no, I don't mind doing it. Please don't pick me.
I was all right doing it. It seemed like an interesting thing to do, even though I couldn't say anything.
Before we move on to the next guest... We're going to play a little game. And this one is called Rogue Trooper or Rogue Poop. Rogue Poop.
Pooper.
Poop as in rubbish, as in poop. So I need three volunteers. Do you not remember the warning I gave you not moments ago about what would happen if this was the case? Okay, hands up if you know Rogue Trooper. Okay, the gentleman in green, the gentleman in red, and who put their hands up over here? All right, the gentleman in the weird dressing gown thing, who I assume is some kind of Jedi. Do you want to come over here, gents?
Oh dear.
So we have the co-creator of Rogue Trooper here, so good luck, guys. One of the catchphrases of Rogue Trooper is, let's knife, okay? As he goes into battle against the Nords, let's knife. So what I want you to do is basically your best kind of, not just vocal impression of Rogue Trooper going into battle, but your best physical, without hurting anybody, or causing any damage that we may have to pay for in the future. Your best interpretation of Road Trooper. And I'll come down with as much of the microphone as I can possibly bring forth. What's your name, sir?
Chris.
Chris. Are you actually here as a Jedi?
No, I was just wearing this to get the sun off outside.
Right, okay. You've chosen exactly the right colour for it too. Well done. So, in your best interpretation of the genetic infantryman, give us your best Let's Knife.
Let's Knife.
Oh, what do you think of that?
Pretty good.
Okay, that's good, that's good. Thank you very much. You want to stand over there? Next volunteer. You did volunteer. What's your name, sir?
I'm Ben.
Ben. Ben. Yeah. Ben. Ben.
No, just the singular.
Oh, okay. Where are you from, Ben?
I'm from Seattle.
The accent really comes through.
Yeah, we all speak like that up there.
The weather is very British, I hear. Yeah, yeah. So, and don't forget that the co-creator of Road Trooper is standing right, sitting right there.
Extra points for a British accent, by the way.
Yeah.
She's British. She's not.
Yeah.
What, the future war?
The future war
thing is British. Yeah. Right, okay.
British people versus like Eastern European people.
Shut up. Moving on. So, without staying into difficult territory, give us your best interpretation of Rogue Trooper and Let's Knife.
Let's Knife!
Ooh. Oh! Oh! I'm impressed. You want to stand over there, Ben? And... I've never seen a man more upset with himself that he put his hand up at a simple question. Like, I haven't got much line on this thing. What's your name, sir?
My name's Andy.
Andy, and where are you from, Andy?
London.
Really? Shocking. Absolutely shocking, yeah. So...
At a 2080... Well, panel.
Panel? It is a panel.
I guess it's a panel.
At least I hope so, anyway. Either that or it's a major police incident, one or the other. So, give us your best Road Trooper.
Let's Knife!
Oh, they're not so certain about that. They're not so certain about that. You know, I'm going to come to Dave Gibbons.
That's a difficult one, this
mic. Yeah, say that into the microphone.
It's a difficult one, this mic, because I'm going to obviously offend two people, aren't I? I'm afraid, Chris, you were great and unexpected.
I won last year for a Torquemada,
so... Oh, well, you're going to sit down then.
Oh, he's automatically disqualified himself. There's honesty, and then there's just shooting yourself in the foot.
I think there was an element of attack about this gentleman's version.
About
so
Ben.
I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, give him a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to? Yeah, if you come down to the 2080 booth afterwards, we'll give you a prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, after that excitement.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for volunteering. So, we're going to move on now. Since we just did the Road Trip game, comes talking to Dave. So, Dave.
Yes.
Road Trooper Redux is the reason that we have brought you to San Diego 2017.
Thank you, Road Trooper Redux.
So, right, it's on the games budget. I don't have to worry about
thank
it.
Thank you. Are you sure you can divulge that? Is that not...
Yeah, it's fine. Right, okay. They don't mind. In terms of... let's talk about Road Trooper a little bit, because you're the co-creator. You're not just the original co-creator, but you rebooted Road Trooper was it 1990?
92, I think. Yeah.
92, right. Yeah, yeah. For War Machine. Tell us just a bit about the creation of Road Trooper, because it was a time when you were doing an awful lot of stuff in 2008, wasn't it?
Well, the way I understand it... 2008 AD asked its readers, what would you like to see in 2000 AD? Now, some would see that as a sign of creative desperation. Others would see it as a shrewd marketing ploy. And so what won was future war. Obviously, the attractions of seeing man slaughter his fellow man in a future time was irresistible. So myself and Jerry Finlay Day, who was one of the original writers on 2000, were tasked with coming up with a future war character. Now, Jerry is a great ideas man, and his initial idea was that what it would be a character called Eurofighter. Okay.
Isn't that a plane?
Well, it probably. Jerry wanted to call it Eurofighter, and this had the idea of a kind of engineered warrior whose limbs and bits of his body came from different parts of Europe. Now, we've already started to be unpleasant towards people of Eastern European extraction, which is regrettable, frankly. But to give you an idea of what, you know, this character could have been, his legs came from Italy so he could run faster.
Oh, no, no, that's not cool.
No. And I kind of had this idea. I really loved the Kung Fu TV series with David Carradine. And I had the idea of this character walking through a hellish landscape who had to fight, didn't want to fight. And Jerry said that couldn't be done because he had to have somebody to talk to. So Steve McManus, I think, stole the idea from a Dread story that there could be biochips where his dead comrades' souls could be encoded on these biochips that Rogue would wear on different powered pieces of his equipment. And it was actually Steve McManus who came up with the name Rogue Trooper as well, based on a book that was popular called Rogue Mail. Now, when I got my hands on Rogue Trooper and had a chance to write it, I thought, right, the first thing that's going are the biochips, because dramatically I find it quite weak that a character's backpack should have more personality than the character himself. So I wrote this epic Christ-like tale of you know, this man sent to hell and then redeeming himself and saving all of mankind. And it was reasonably well received by the readers, but the only comment by people who bothered to write in was, bring the biochips back, we want the biochips. So that gives you an idea of how qualified I am to talk about what makes a good comic book character.
Where does Rogue Trooper, I'm not talking chronologically, but where does Rogue Trooper sit in your career? You know, was it, because you weren't on it for very long, I think it was originally sort of 8 episodes to begin with?
Yeah, I think at that point I had worked for 2000 AD for maybe the first 100 and something issues, mainly doing Dan Dare and Harlem Heroes. And then I jumped ship to Marvel UK and I did Doctor Who for a couple of years with Pat Mills and John Wagner, who were also poached away. And then I wanted to get back into doing something for 2000 AD. And frankly, I didn't have enough work because Doctor Who was only 8 pages a month. But the problem I had, and it's really difficult, I've already mentioned Jerry Finley Day. He's a very creative writer, but kind of writing isn't his strong point, if you know what I mean. He's great at coming up with characters and plays on words and things. But with the very first Rogue Trooper script, I essentially rewrote it because I was lettering it as well. And I said, I really can't do this every week. I haven't got time. So get somebody else to letter it. And then I got to the point where I had difficulty in actually reading the panel descriptions. So I got Steve McManus to just send me a précis of what happened. And then eventually, don't get me wrong, I quite like Jerry Finley Day. I've spoken to him on several occasions. And as I say, he's a really creative guy. There was just something about it that didn't gel with me. And I ended up doing the thing that you should never do by seeing Steve McManus, the editor, one day at lunch and saying, look, Steve, I'm really not happy with these Rogue Trooper stories. You know, really, if Jerry's going to carry on writing it, I don't want to draw it anymore. And Steve said, well, I think Jerry's a very good writer and I'm really sorry you're leaving, Dave. So, you know, but I did like the character and I still like the character. And I'm quite proud that we came up with a character who's there in the top echelons with Dredd and Johnny Alpha and so on. So I think very fondly of Rogue, and I think it's a great arena for telling good stories.
What was your motivation behind rebooting him for War Machine?
Well, at that point, Richard Burton was the editor of 2000 AD, and I'd sort of, I had a bit of what I believe they call in Hollywood marquee value to my name, because I'd worked on Watchmen with Alan Moore. So Richard Burton asked me to, you know, was I interested in doing something with Rogue Trooper, because he knew I wasn't quite happy with it the way it was. And he said, would you like to write and draw it? And I said, oh yeah, that'd be fantastic, but when it came to it, I didn't have time to draw it. So I just wrote it, and it did suffer a little bit because it missed issues, which is a very bad thing to do, no matter how good your idea. And it led to the confusing state where there's like the Rogue Trooper Rogue Trooper and the Friday Rogue Trooper, and there've been lots of attempts to undo the damage I did. And I think they've now got the best of each character, and I think Rogue at the moment is a really strong character.
I mean, you said that it's an incredible world for telling stories, because of course we have two spin-offs now, which is Jaeger with Gordon Rennie and Simon Colby, and Hunted, which is the story of the traitor general.
Oh yeah.
With Gordon and PJ Holden and Len O'Grady colouring, I think.
Right.
So it's a remarkably malleable concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly kind of primal concept, and I think the best characters have that. I mean, you know, Dredd is a super cop in a mad future, really, you know, and there's a whole tapestry. And Rogue is a fundamentally decent soul who is unfortunately a genetically engineered killing machine who's stranded on a planet that he's doomed always to inhabit. I did have an idea when I thought I might write more Rogue Trooper, and here's a free idea for you, Mike.
Oh, thanks.
To do a sort of, I don't know if you've ever seen the old movie Tarzan in New York, where Tarzan goes back to New York, and of course the proud king of the jungle is now this savage that's, you know, completely shunned by everybody in New York. I thought it'd be interesting if Rogue went on home leave to the home planet, and you know, you'd see how far he got the first bar he walked into and somebody spilled his pint. You know, there'd be 53 people dead, you know. So you can have that one from me.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks so much. Well, there was that Rogue Trooper Judge Dredd crossover years and years and years ago where Rogue ended up in Mega City 1. And I mean, this is a couple of decades ago.
I'm an old man who spent many years in comics, and I'm not quite what I was. I'm sorry, I completely forgot about that one.
But I think the upshot of that story was, well, they're both clones, so they understand each other.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Really works. Really works. let's talk about Rogue Trooper Redux for a moment, because have you had any other games based on your characters?
No, I've worked on a couple of computer games, but not any that feature 2000 AD characters.
Right. So I don't know, you were involved in the original, because it's before my time, were you involved in the original game?
No, I wasn't. I've never particularly been a gamer. My son is a mad gamer, yeah. And he loved the Rogue Trooper game, and I watched him play it. And of course, I mean, it's your perfect first-person shooter thing, isn't it? You know, you know that is the story. You just kill everything.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that pretty much.
What they do in these
is that
games?
Right, Bobby?
These young people in these games, isn't that what they do?
Yeah,
in their bedrooms when they should be out playing in the sunshine, isn't that what they do? I think you'll find
that's
it is.
That's what we're told.
I think that's why we've got the decline of Western society, frankly.
I'm not getting into that one.
So the next Rogue Trooper game is where he goes to the noughts and discusses their political views and actually talks them down from their adherence to Nordland, and then they go for a nice cup of tea.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think so. That's right, isn't it, Bobby?
We're predicting four sales.
Yeah. three of them in the office. Yeah. Move on for you, Dave. Thank you very much. Actually, give Dave a round of applause. Just before we move on to our next guest, I've got another game. Can I have three volunteers? Gentleman just there. Gentleman just there. And actually, the lady sitting next to you. No, this is good. This is seriously, this will be good. This will be good.
It's never a good sign.
It's amazing how easily I can lie to a room full of people, isn't it? Right, so this game is called Anders On or Anders Off. Have you seen the Dredd movie? Yeah? Yeah? Seen Dredd movie? Yeah? Okay. So there's, obviously it's got Judge Anderson in it, and there's a bit where she says, it interferes, when she's talking about why she hasn't got a helmet on, she says it interferes with my psychic abilities. All right? What I'd like is for your best Olivia Thirlby as Judge Anderson in that moment impression. Yeah? Guys, I think you might lose. No, that's fine. No, just say the line. You might beat them. I'm just saying. You might have something to your advantage in this situation. You actually volunteered as well, which is great. If you'd like to come over here. What's your name, sir?
I'm Vincent.
Vincent, and where are you from, Vincent?
Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay. And how much do you like the Dredd movie?
I actually quit my job at an office building, and I'm going to law school next year because of Dredd 3D.
You're joking.
No, 100%
serious. Give him a round of applause. There is a little voice in my head that's worried that a story about a fascist totalitarian cop makes him want to be involved in the law.
Well, no? Well, I was once told by somebody I'd changed their lives with Rogue Trooper, and I asked them what they did, and they said, I'm a machine gunner in the paratroops. So that's my legacy to the world.
Okay. 2080, inspiring new and deadly futures. The line is, he said, it interferes with my psychic abilities. Give it a go.
It interferes with my psychic abilities.
That's a good reading. That's a good reading.
I can't help but feel you've got a sympathy clap from the guy over there.
Don't applaud that. I don't want that applauded.
You volunteered for this. Oh, okay, fine. Next volunteer. What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
Andrew, where are you from, Andrew?
Cape Town, South Africa.
Cape Town, South Africa, okay. Well, of course, South Africa is where Dredd was filmed.
Yes.
Yeah, come a bit closer. I can't bring it over to here. How much do you like the Dredd film?
Very much. I stalked the costume designer because I was trying to get some props, but yeah, the court order is still in effect, even in San Diego at the moment.
I often find that's the best way to get free stuff from people. We just follow them around an awful lot. Let's have your best interferes with my psychic abilities impression.
It interferes with my psychic abilities.
I can't help but feel there are more people laughing then than actually clapping, just as an FYI. The final volunteer, if you'd like to come forward. And what's your name?
Thea.
Thea, and are you also from Cape Town?
No, from New York.
You're from New York, all right, okay. Do you enjoy the Dredd movie?
Yeah. I saw it a while ago, but yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, let's hear your best. It interferes. And you have to come a bit closer. It interferes with my psychic abilities.
It interferes with my psychic abilities.
I'll be honest with you, this is quite a tough crowd, as it turns out. Who knew? Okay, Mark.
Oh, it's going to be me?
Yeah.
I think it has to be the stalker.
The stalker? I give him a round of applause. Thank you very much indeed. Pop down to the 2008 booth to claim your prize. I'm actually going to come on to Emily next. Yes, whether you like it or not. So Emily is our newly minted 2080 droid. You've done your first cover, which is a Judge Anderson, hence the game, Judge Anderson cover. Tell us a little bit, because you're a relatively recent convert to Judge Dredd in 2080, aren't you?
Yes. Do you want me to talk more about it?
Yes, please. Otherwise, this is going to be a very short panel.
So one of my coworkers at EA was, I think, telling me for like 6 months every day that I had to watch the Dredd movie. And finally, one night I saw it on Netflix, and just to make him happy, I watched it. And it turned out to be super awesome. And as soon as I finished the movie, I had to know more about the character. And I don't think I even knew it was a comic based on a comic character at that point. I'd never heard of it. But I like Googled some interview that Carl Urban said that he read like Dredd Origins in America, so I immediately bought those off the 2080 store and like read them, and it's been pretty much a downhill slope into like obsession after that. So, yeah.
So, what do you do in your day life? Are you an artist in your career? That's a really awkward question, but are you an artist? There we go.
Yes, I'm an artist. Yeah, it's funny that guy said that he quit his job over 2080, because I have a similar story where I've been working on games for a really long time, and due to health issues, I was thinking about quitting my job for a really long time. And I was listening to a Thrillcast that happened to have Emma Beebe on it, and y'all were talking about how she was like the first woman writer for Judge Dredd, Judge Anderson, and I was like super astonished about that fact, and I was super inspired, and so I guess I can blame you guys for being the catalyst and kind of pushing me over the edge and pulling that trigger to kind of rearrange my priorities and what I want in my art career. So right now I'm just freelancing and doing my own thing, and one of those things just happens to be a 2080 cover, which is super cool. So
so many people want to draw for 2080. What was your path to actually getting that commission?
Well, I drew a lot of like really bad fan art for a long time, just because like I don't have any friends that I can talk to about 2080, so it kind of just gets channeled into lots of fan art. And then I finally decided to take it seriously this year, and I wrote and drew my own comic, and for some reason I decided to submit it right before, like I think like 3 days before the deadline or something, and I had to pay to overnight it all the way to you guys, and I was super paranoid it wasn't gonna make it, but somehow I got an email back and it was awesome, so yeah.
Excellent, and tell us a bit about the cover.
Oh, am I allowed? Or am I gonna do a Bobby impression?
What, vague and unconvincing? No. You're quite welcome to talk about it.
It's a Emma Beebe, David Roach story, I believe, about Judge Anderson, and I got to draw Judge Anderson on the front cover, which is super awesome because obviously, like I said, Emma Beebe was like my inspiration to even work for 2080, so it's kind of coincidental, and you know, that it just happens to be her story, so yeah.
As like a newly minted droid, what's your plan now? Are you going to be pitching, asking for more work from Matt, or?
I hope so. I would really love to work on, you know, hint hint, I would love to work on like Lawless or Jaeger type stuff, or Rogue Trooper. I love Rogue Trooper, so yeah, any of those stories would be super amazing. Yeah.
Excellent. Brilliant, brilliant, fantastic. Well, I'm glad to know that everybody's feeling inspired by 2080, even if they go off to be in the Paras and shoot people with a machine gun. Last game. And there's more people in the room as well, so they didn't hear the warning at the beginning, did they? Excellent. I need 3 volunteers. Right. Fella there. The gentleman in the black t-shirt with the kind of pinky purple on the front, you're officially volunteered. And, gentleman just there in the flat cap. Give him a round of applause. Because they're volunteer, whether they like it or not. So I call this game Law Draw or Law Floor. I tend to find if you wait long enough, eventually they realize that there should be some kind of reaction afterwards. So we're going to be talking about the Dredd TV show in a minute with Mark. So basically, I want your best Judge Dredd impression with...
I've already got the
T-shirt. You have already got the T-shirt. And in fact, that's exactly what I want you to say. Not, I've already got the T-shirt, but I am the law. So if you'd like to come over here, sir. What's your name?
Peter.
Peter, and where are you from?
Sydney, Australia.
A lot of big, broad, nice, what am I trying to say? Spread of people from around the world. There we go. That's exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah, it clicked into place. I don't have to ask if you're a big Dredd fan.
Yes, good.
Okay. How long have you been meeting?
Since 2018 first came out.
Wow. Okay. None of us are getting any younger. Don't worry about it. So let's have your best I Am The Law.
I am the law.
That's approving applause. Nobody laughed and I heard somebody go, ooh, which is a good sign. Next volunteer, please. What's your name, sir?
Leo.
Leo, and where are you from, Leo?
Right here in California.
Excellent, excellent. And again, I'd... home crowd, apparently. Who knew? I don't need to ask if you're a Dredd fan because you're wearing a nice unlicensed T-shirt. Excellent. we'll send the boys around. If you want to come a bit closer there, give us your best I Am The Law.
All right, let me cover my eyes.
I Am The Law.
Excellent. Well done. And what's your name, sir?
Greg.
Greg. Where are you from, Greg?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. A place about which I know absolutely nothing. I'm really sorry. Otherwise, I'd ask you a question. What's big in Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Anyway, moving on. Let's give you the opportunity to represent Pennsylvania in law jaw or law floor with your best I am the law.
I am the law.
Not too bad, not too bad. Actually, you know what? I'm going to turn this one over to the audience. I want you to clap again based on who you think was the best. The Australian gentleman. Okay, that's good. That's good. The local boy. Ooh. And Mr. Pennsylvania.
That's a fix.
So, congratulations, sir. Give him a round of applause. This is what by the booth to claim your prize. Now, we're down to our last 15 minutes, and so just so we've got some time at the end for questions, I will move on to Mark. Thank you for being patient, Mark, as we've been through that brilliant process of a panel. Who's excited about Judge Dredd Mega City 1? Yeah? You could probably dial that up a couple of points. Who's excited about Judge Dredd Mega City 1? There we go. Thank you. You're very responsive as an audience. So, Mark, let's just before we talk about the show itself, tell us a little bit about your experience of bringing TV shows to fruition, because you've had a lot of experience, a lot of involvement in the Battlestar Galactica reboot a few years ago. Tell us a bit more about your background.
Yeah, so I started my career as a producer and then went and ran original programming for the Sci-Fi Channel, which I'm sure you guys have never heard of before, starting with Battlestar Galactica, and then did a bunch of TV series, Warehouse 13 and Eureka and Helix and Caprica, and I won't bore you. We'll be here for another 15 minutes. And then left Sci-Fi about 3.5-4 years ago, I wanted to go back to being a producer. And so now I work with a company called IM Global. We have a television studio called IM Global Television. And we're looking at doing big genre TV series. Obviously, Dredd being one of the coolest and the biggest ones, but we're also doing a reboot of King Kong and Conan the Barbarian and bunch of other things that I really can't talk about.
And we're back to being vague.
Bobby,
excellent.
Bobby and I are doing stuff that we can't talk about.
I feel your pain.
So it's been really exciting.
So what's the attraction of, I mean, you say that Dredd is one of the bigger properties that you're looking at the moment. What's the attraction for IM Global or something like Judge Dredd? Because, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. We had the Stallone movie. Thank you for the unprompted reaction to that. I didn't want to say anything, but you know, I can feel the temperature in the room drop. But then obviously we had the excellent Dredd movie, which didn't do as well as we hoped, even though it had an amazing reaction. So what's the value of something like Judge Dredd to IM Global? Aside from obviously something that you can produce and sell and make money out of, obviously.
Wow, that's really cynical, man.
Very much so. I said I'm being devil's advocate here.
No, I think it's amazing. Like, it's an amazing world. The coolest thing about Dredd for me is, well, there's a couple of amazing things about it. One is, it's so relevant to today. Unfortunately, it's even more relevant to today, and especially the world we live in now, than ever. So it was a satire 20, 30 years ago. It's even more actually real now. And that's cool, right? When you can do something that relates to the world and comments on the world, but in a heightened way. It's also a world. Like, it is such a cool, interesting world filled with all sorts of people and this great mythology. And, you know, you come in through Dredd, but the cool thing about Mega City 1 that Brian Jenkins and Chris and Jason are doing is, it's called Mega City 1 for a reason. It's actually the world of Dredd. Dredd's definitely in it, And I have a big announcement about Carl Urban that I'd like to make, which is, I have no idea if he's going to be in it yet.
That was really cruel.
You almost gave
someone
me a
almost
heart
said
attack.
Something then.
I swear I didn't tell him to do that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, shut up.
I will say about Carl, like, yes, of course we would love him to be in the series. We're talking to him about it. I think that we have to kind of figure it out first. We're very early stages of the whole process. They're trying to figure out exactly what the series is going to be and how it's going to work. It is Mega City 1. It's not Judge Dredd. So even though Dredd is definitely in the series and it plays an important part in it, it's an ensemble drama about a group of judges. And so we have to kind of figure out what he wants to do and how he fits into that. And then, believe me, you guys will be the first to know when we know anything real. I'm sure of that. You'll know before we know, actually. I'm sure. It'll be all over the blogs. But I'm really off topic. What was I talking about?
Okay. I was just enjoying the ride, man.
It's been a while since I've been on a panel. I'm a little rusty.
So in terms of your hopes for the look and feel of it, I mean, both Jason and Brian on the videos on YouTube and also on the podcast have talked about their hopes of kind of striking a balance between the kind of more realistic stuff that you saw in Dredd and the more extreme stuff that you see in the comic strip. Where would you like the divide to come down? Because obviously there's two fandoms that we're dealing with here. There's the fandom of the Dredd movie and the fandom of the comics, and they both have their own expectations.
I mean, I think it's kind of a bit of a cheat to say, but I think it's a little kind of between the two. I think there's a great grounded reality, which is one of the things I loved about the movie, the Carl Urban movie, but there's this really big, vibrant, over-the-top exuberance about the comics that I think you want to capture, right? It's fun. The comics are fun. There's certainly a lot of other stuff going on in there, but you've got a big talking polar bear that runs a bar. Like, how awesome is that? So, like, you want to capture all that stuff. And the great thing also now, I mean, it was true when we did Battlestar Galactica, it's even more so now, which is you can do amazing things in television with visual effects. And so, kind of the sky's the limit in ways that you couldn't even, you know, maybe 10 years ago. So it also feels like it's the time to tell this story now and to really take the shackles off and really let your imagination go.
And I'm Global R, the going to be the distributors for this. The one question a lot of people, the other question a lot of people ask is where are they going to be able to see this? But it's still really early in the process as far as I understand it.
Yeah, so we are... and by we, I mean Brian and the guys in England, but we're writing the material now. Then the next step is probably going to be to attach talent, so Carl and directors and things of that nature, and then we'll take it to buyers. So we're going to take it everywhere. There's already been a lot of interest, as you would expect. I think in America it'll be... I mean, it could be anywhere. It's probably most likely to be on a streaming service like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu. It could be on a premium cable channel like Stars or Showtime or HBO. But we'll see. I mean, and now there are even more new outlets. Apple TV is starting one. So it's a very exciting time in that respect. And then internationally, since I seem to be one of five Americans in this room, it's really going to be dependent on the territory. We're going to be distributing it both domestically and internationally, and it's going to be kind of territory by territory. There's obviously a lot of different outlets in Britain for that as well.
What kind of time scale are we talking about, do you reckon?
Well, I brought some footage to watch. No. I know, sorry.
You're just really mean.
I'm not getting out of this room alive. It's going to be at least a year to 2 years, I hate to say. It's going to be a while. It just is. There's a lot to do. We want to do it right. I think that's the mantra right now that we're going through, which is not to rush, just to make sure it gets done right. And then there's a lot to do. It's going to be a big show. We're going to be spending some real money and effort to make it. So, you know, I know that the 2000 AD guys feel that way. We certainly feel that way. Like, you want to do right by this.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, thank you very much.
I'm happy to come back next year and still say nothing.
and that's fine. Just maybe don't wind the crowd up so much next time. You'd be lucky to make it out with your legs still attached, I feel.
I was just feeling a lot of the pressure from Bobby because he was so forthcoming. It's a lot of pressure.
It's been a panel of revelations.
It certainly has.
Big news. So
big
down,
companies,
down,
small companies, I don't know. There's lots of companies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Many, sorry. Many, bigly.
I should have let Sinan do this. Yeah. Not volunteered for this show.
You've got a very interesting shade of puce. I think. Anyway, we're down to our last 5 minutes. So, has anybody got any questions for our panel? Oh, straight up, Mr. Jedi, right there.
Mark, are you guys going to do anything with the Dark Judges?
I can't talk about it.
Would you like to, it's okay. In your deepest hearts, be able to, whether or not you can do it?
I can't talk about it.
And actually, do you know what? I've just realised, of course, there's a microphone right there for questions. So if you have a question, pop over to the microphone. Go on.
This is another one for Mark. You mentioned a polar bear that runs a Shuggy Hall. Shuggy Bear.
Shuggy Bear.
Yeah. Does that mean there's a chance Lenny Zero could make an appearance?
I can't talk about it. You guys should just not waste your time going up there and asking me specifics about plot or characters.
They're all confirmed.
Yeah. Because I can't talk about it.
100% your wildest dreams, basically, will come true.
I can talk about how Battlestar Galactica ended.
What's your question, sir?
This question's for Dave. What is your weirdest Alan Moore story?
Seriously, we've got like 4 minutes left.
Well, I'm really sorry, but I can't say anything about it.
Next question.
Okay, here's another ballpark for Mark. Any chance seeing anything outside of Mega City 1? If we can't talk about that, talk about the end of Battlestar Galactica, because I didn't like season 4 that much.
I can't talk about that either. I mean, we are definitely going out to Cursed Earth. There's definitely, and what's cool about, I will say what's really interesting about what these guys are doing, because they are starting to break the stories for season 1 is, it's focused on, as I said, these judges and some of them are seasoned and some of them are newbies. But then they're also kind of breaking away for some flashback episodes. They're doing some kind of 3-episode arc episodes. So they're really trying to kind of fill out other characters, including Dredd, and kind of give you some background in terms of how this world kind of became what it is.
Oh, very cool. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks for your question. Next.
So this is a question for Dave. Working with a magazine like 2000 AD, where the stories are so long running and they go on for decades, what was your personal experience with rebooting one of those characters so late afterwards?
Well, it's kind of difficult when you reboot anything, because as I think my story suggested, there are lots of people who like it just the way it is. And to be quite honest with you, I think I was being slightly indulged. I think for the reasons that I said, they wanted to have my name on it and said, oh, well, you can do whatever you like, really, Dave. So it is a problematic thing to do. Probably better to put one's efforts into creating new characters.
Thank you.
And final question.
I can't talk about it. Sorry.
Nice shirt, by the way. Can you talk about that?
Yes. For Mark, really, actually, it's kind of a few questions, but just quickly, do you think doing a TV series, which sounds amazing, kills the possibility of additional movies down the road, or do you think just the bottom line, it's finances, and the finances of the last movie kind of killed any further Dredd movies down the road?
I mean, look, that's really a 2000 AD question, but I will say I personally don't think so, because they're not doing a Dredd series, right? So even though Dredd's in it, you're really doing a series that fills out the world, which certainly leaves room for additional movies that kind of take that character in other directions, I would think.
Yeah. Can I ask one other question then? Because sure. Some of the things of the details, you know, fans are crazy, of course, but with some of the things, like in the Dredd movie, like the moment when they're going up the stairs with the smoke bombs and they put their little respirators in like this, you know, couldn't they just have done that? How hard was it? Some of those little details that people are kind of really looking for. Do you think it's money that stops people doing that, or is it, could you just even CGI people doing things? Could you have the bikes look more like the original bikes? Or is it just an artistic opportunity to take it in a different direction?
Well, you know, here's the cool thing about the series, I think, versus the film. And Jason and Brian and Chris were really careful to hold on very close to the material, right? Mm-hmm. The movie kind of got away from them, I think, as feature films will, especially big, expensive ones. And I think there are definitely things as, they're the original fanboys, right? So I think there are things in that movie that maybe they, I don't want to speak for them, but that they wanted to do differently.
Yeah.
And I certainly know that the way that they're designing the series is very much with the fans in mind, because they're the fans. Yeah. So I think those kinds of discrepancies, the small things that other people might not notice, but the people that really love this property are going to really care about, mm-hmm. are definitely going to be things that they care about too.
Cool. Thank Brilliant. You very much.
Thank you very much for your question. We have run out of time. A big round of applause for our panel, Dave, Mark, Bobby, and Emily. This has been the 2018 Flow Fest. See you next year.
So that is a wrap. Wanted to be able to bring you the Dave Gibbons panel on Friday, but somebody forgot to take along his recording device. So apologies that we can't give you Dave's wonderful answers to questions about his career and approach to making comics. And that's your lot from San Diego Comic-Con Earthlets. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoy that. Lovely to hear from Dave, Mark, Emily and Bobby, and thank you to everyone in the audience who is a good sport with the competitions, and we shall see you in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the Galaxy's Greatest Podcast, Splendid Verthrig.
Alert! 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 Full power levels dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Read 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the Galaxy's Greatest Comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies from 2000adonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000 AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000ADonline. And follow on Instagram at Insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down.